I'm very glad to let you know that DICE has received two national awards this year. One which was e-governance, which was a competitive one with many other sectors, not just education sector, and which DICE was given the second place award in the e-governance. And very recently, just 3 days ago, Professor Mehta went and received in Hyderabad on e-India competition that was there. It's a huge conference that was held there. And in that also, the DICE was adjudged best one by the jury. Jury award was given to DICE. So this shows that, you know, how well the DICE has evolved over a period of time, how important it has become as a database framework in the whole country. Let me also say that although NUPA has been identified and then the award has been given, but actually the award belongs to all of you, because it is the work that has gone on in the states which has resulted in the kind of database that we have at NUPA. After all, it is the people who work in the school who have supplied the data, those people who collected and collated the data, then finalized at the state level and then you sent in that fashion. That's what matters finally. So the credit for this success of DICE, I would consider, belongs to all of you. It's a collective thing. I think we should all rejoice in this award that DICE has received. Now, when I say DICE has really evolved over a long period of time, there is in fact a much greater realization both by the Satyam Committee and later on whatever discussions have happened at the national level, that DICE provides the basis for really the data generation and data maintenance for all sectors of education in fact. Although currently DICE is confined only to elementary level, there has been many suggestions that have been made that DICE provides the framework, it provides the template, and then that should be really seen as the basis for evolving a comprehensive database system for the whole country. Yesterday only we were discussing in the ministry about the need for higher education database, and they are all looking to NUPA to really provide, maintain the higher education database. We know that the nature of the data structure, data architecture when we talk of elementary school, which is general education and everybody studies the same thing, will be very different when you, as you go to higher secondary level or college level. But yet I think it provides a robust base for doing it. And that's recognition, today the government of India and all the state government recognize DICE is the one that can really take us forward in creating a more comprehensive database for education in the country. You know, as many people say that information in a way, why do we collect data? If you ask, from one point of view, data by itself is useful. Information is useful by itself. In a way, information is an end in itself also. But we also know that information is also a means to some other end. Although that just having information itself, knowing how many children are going to school or not going to school itself is important, but it's also a means to an end for planning. Planning and monitoring also depends upon database. So when we are talking about DICE, I think particularly at this juncture when the right to education has taken shape, and then now we need to really, all elementary education has to be using right to education provisions as the basis, as the canvas for collection of information and maintenance of information. So it is a means, therefore, in a way we all look at as the DICE as a very important source of information and the means for implementation and monitoring of right to education. That's why there have been suggestions, and this committee has sat and then thought over in terms of, in fact, there was a committee after the right to education came into existence in April. After it was announced, Government of India set up a committee to harmonize the norm of SSA with RTE. Once you harmonize the norms, means what kind of input that flow into the school, if they are going to change, obviously you cannot really close your eyes to those changes when you collect DICE data. The requirement is that if there are going to be major changes, when we harmonize SSA with right to education requirement, and those changes have to be captured by DICE. That is what is being really said, that now we are at a very critical juncture, therefore, having really finalized and formalized all these things, what kind of changes internally we need to create so that it is more comprehensive and it can become the basis for monitoring implementation of right to education. You should appreciate one very important thing. SSA is a project. Although it is national level, every state, every district, everywhere it is covered, SSA still is a scheme that is supported by Government of India and partly by the state government. Whereas right to education is a fundamental right of every child. You see the qualitative difference between two situations. SSA as a scheme is dependent on SSA Bureau in Government of India and telling that these are all the things that we are giving to the school. You better take stock and tell us whether it is going all right or not. Whereas right right to education doesn't depend on the SSA bureau here. Right to education is given by the constitution to every child in this country. So monitoring right to education needs to be the basis today instead of monitoring SSA. Till now, DICE has been the basic source of monitoring SSA indirectly, directly, and indirectly monitoring elementary education therefore. Because SSA, since it is universalized, everywhere it is there. So when you monitor SSA, you are also monitoring elementary education from that side. But more essentially, as part of SSA framework, as a project. Now, from project, we need to move to a program framework. Program which will be permanent. See, whether SSA was there or not, there was a primary education system existed. So now, right to education will permanently exist in this country. And therefore, monitoring that requires us to look at the whole thing at a different level, different plane, as compared to the way we were looking at when it was SSA. SSA norms were specified against the norms we are looking at. So the DICE also has its own implications when we want to change our move from SSA to a higher plane and look at right to education as the way in the fashion. There are several things which challenge us. In fact, right to education, as all of us know, it is just beginning to unfold. Let us remember, this is the only education legislation in the country from the central government that has come for school education. Till now, all school education has been based on the school education acts of the various state governments. Every state has a school education act, and anything that happened in the state was governed by the school education acts of the state government. There was no legislation at the national level at all. This is the first legislation that has come up, and it's just taking shape, just unfolding. It is challenging everyone. It is challenging the state governments also. You must be reading about the debates that are taking place. The state governments are demanding not only funds, but they are also raising many issues related to this. The private schools raising issues. The teachers are raising issues. Non-governmental organizations are raising issues. Everybody is challenged. Every one of us is challenged by right to education. So DICE is also in a way challenged by right to education. And we cannot escape that because it's a fundamental right that we are talking about. There are three or four areas which seems to be very critical in monitoring the right to education. As you know, National Commission for Protection of Child Rights has been entrusted with this of monitoring the implementation of right to education. Corresponding to NCPCR, we have State Commissions for Protection of Child Rights or a suitable body that is being created. But all of them are going to depend on the database. If you are talking about every child and every school conforming to right to education, there is no way that anybody can go and collect information from everywhere. The only source that's currently available for collection of information every year about the primary schools is DICE. So DICE occupies therefore a central place in monitoring of right to education. What are the things that challenge? I think we will know only when we start really doing it. But there are a few areas which are very critical on which DICE, in my view, has to really think of. One, I think, is about the teacher. Currently also you are collecting data on the teacher. Why teacher becomes very important? There are new set of norms that have been worked out for teacher qualification as well as teacher people ratio. And teachers work schedule. Three things are very important. Teachers qualification. Now it specifies what should be. The NCT is coming out with a new law related to new announcements, related notification related to the teacher qualification. And it's important that we monitor, we collect information properly about the teachers and their qualification. Second, teacher people ratio, which used to be 1:40 till now we were using. That's what SSA used to prescribe. Now it has become 1:30 at the lower primary and 1:35 at the upper primary plus one headmaster. Second, now new qualifications are also prescribing that the middle school level, as far as possible, we should have graduate teachers, specialized teachers. Till now, there are no specialist teachers. The right to education specifies that we need to appoint specialist teachers. Now, these are implications for which database has to really respond to. How exactly we do about it? Because this is different from what we were really looking at. Apart from teacher people ratio, the teacher qualifications and all. Third, related to teacher is that if you look at the schedule, there is a schedule attached which talks of how many hours of engagement teacher should have with the children, number of days of working, a number of hours of instruction that should happen. And it also says number of hours in a week a teacher should be available also. Whether they are there or not, as people responsible for collecting information, we need to collect that information and then present, which is part of the monitoring. So this is an area, it's a very sensitive area also, but I think most critical area after all, if the teacher doesn't want to do things, I think nothing can happen in the school. Finally, it all depends upon the teacher. Everybody finds teacher as a problem. But I want to say, if teachers do not become the part of the solution, there is no solution. solution at all. They should not be part of the problem. They should be part of the solution only, because the problems of this school education cannot be solved without the teacher involved. So this is one area on which you may like to really rethink. Second, on the infrastructure front. Infrastructure, we are collecting a lot of information. In fact, the infrastructure also, there are specifications made in the schedule, the right to education, that what kind of infrastructure that we are really looking at, what every school should have for this purpose, in terms of number of rooms. It says that every teacher should have a classroom. You see now, in many places, all of you may have seen, at least I have gone and seen in many places, that you have seen some place there are three teachers, but there are only two rooms. Dice data itself shows. And there are also places where there are five rooms, but there are only three teachers. I have seen in Madhya Pradesh, when we went, we found that the one teacher teaches for some time here and then goes to the other classroom. So these are all very important issues in terms of the infrastructure available there, apart from the traditional things like toilets and other things. Related to classroom process also, there are some items that are there, and we need to really carefully look at it and incorporate. I think the revised DCF is going to capture many of these issues effectively. Third area, which is again very high important in RTE, is the issue of school management committee. Now, I think we are only collecting one information, whether the PTA is there or not. That's all. But now, it is there or not is of no value now. The school management committee is given certain tasks also. It's not just anything. It is being established now. A legal measure. Till now, PTAs and VECs, they are all only, either they are informal, they are established, or they have been created through executive orders under SSA. Only in some states there is a legislation related to that. The School Development and Monitoring Committee in Karnataka or somewhere. We'll find that in some places, Andhra Pradesh also school management committees are there, part of there. And in Madhya Pradesh, the PTAs have the same kind of situation through the act that has been there, School Education Act. No, but now this act, the legislation, supersedes all those things. That means that they need to be reformulated or renamed, or even if they do not rename, at least the functions of those bodies will have to be in consonance with the right to education. They can do more, but they cannot do less. Not only that, the constitution of SMC has also been specified now, that 75% of them should be parents. This, I think, is a very revolutionary thing to say, that the 75% will be the parent in the SMC, parents of children who are attending the school in that time. Now, what I am saying is that, therefore, SMC information is very central to really functioning of the school. An empowered SMC can change. I think all of you also agree with me that wherever the PTAs have been very active, things have changed. You go to, for instance, Himachal Pradesh, you will find that there the school management committees or PTAs, whatever they call, have been very good. In fact, SSA itself has long experience of promoting mother-teacher associations in Haryana. They work very well. In several places it has happened. We have examples of plenty. So SMC's role, I think, and its function, what it is there or it's not there, we need to collect very solid information on that. This is also linked to one more thing. The right to education gives enormous authority to local authorities. Local authorities are the ones who, first level of monitoring is to be done by the local authority. Local authority in most places can be called the Panchayati Raj. I know in some states the Panchayat has not been given any of this kind, but in many states wherever Panchayat has been given, they will hold that. In some places there may be other bodies. If you go to Northeast, in some of the places there are different bodies that are there, which have been recognized as functioning in the same fashion. So you can really look at this situation, that SMC and local authorities occupy very important. I hope we get generate some information whether the SMCs and PRI and their role, what they are doing vis-a-vis the individual school, how it is happening. I don't know how much you can really do, but I am also thinking probably the school report cards that we generate could also capture little more of qualitative information. Now, the right to education, since it's the right of the child, complete name is that right of children to universal, free and compulsory education. That's what it said. So, right of every child that we are talking about, the child entitlement, one side, which is measurable. That I think you will capture, child entitlement. But there are also child entitlements which are intangible. The child will not face any barriers to study. Mental harassment and corporal punishment will not be there. Physical and mental harassment will not be there. These are qualitative. This is intangible. There are several such things that are there which are somewhat intangible. But if you are measuring, which are studying the right of the children, whether it is protected or not, I think unless we record some qualitative information, I do not know whether we can really sort of codify some of the qualitative information and get some entry made against them.
Because DICE is the only source where you will cover every school. There is no other place. Once in a few years, NCERT conducts a survey of all schools, all India survey, also covers all the schools. Otherwise, every year if you are looking at, there is no other source except DICE, which goes to every school and then collects information. So I am just thinking that whether you should examine whether some qualitative information which are relevant to protection of the rights of the children can be codified and entered into your DCF. If you do that, the school report cards would reflect much more. I mean, the wealth of information that they give along with quantity and quality would be of a different quality altogether as compared to what we are currently doing. And that would go a long way in monitoring the whole thing. That is what I would like to say related to the Right to Education Act and then its implication for DICE. Since you are gathering now at this juncture, I think whatever you decide and the kind of thing that you generate is going to be the basis for a long time to come. You are not going to change every day when you generate DCF in this fashion. So I would like that since one workshop was already held and that input is also available with you, I hope in this you will also really do. Now one or two more points I want to say is why 2010-11 we are insisting that collect information from 2010-11 only. That means that September only it should be done is because now that the act has come, although it is just unfolding, we need a benchmark. Let's remember, the Act has several things. Act says that within 6 months, every school will have a teacher-pupil ratio of this kind. Within 3 years, every school will have all the infrastructure and other facilities that have been specified. It also says within 5 years, all the schools will have qualified teachers in right numbers that is supplied in that fashion. So there are all these time frames that are given by the RPA. Within 5 years, all of them should. It also talks of, is one of the things I have not said, probably you can really think what we can do is, there are a lot of out-of-school children. We know that dropout children are there. However much we do, there will be children who are out. So the Right to Education Act says that they should all be given special training and we mainstreamed into the regular school according to age appropriate classes, a very important thing that has been done. So if you can really capture that, what kind of effort that are happening in the school, that the school is made responsible for that, how this mainstreaming is taking place or not, if they like to really present those things. So all this time frame that is given, in 5 years all these things should be completed. So many of these are transitory measures that are utilized. So in 2010-11 if you collect data, you may find that many of these things are not working. The idea is that if it's not working in, say, in out of 100 places, in 50 schools it is working, in 50 it is not working. If you say that, next year when you go, has it become 60 where it is working, 70 where it is working, you'll be able to see that. If the teacher qualification, this year it was like this, after 2 years when you go, in 2 years period, what is the improvement that has come? In the infrastructure, in 2 year period, what is the improvement that has come? So this is possible if you want to monitor, unless we have a benchmark. So we are looking at 2010-11 as the benchmark for Right to Education. Therefore, of very, very critical importance that we do a thorough job this year with respect to Right to Education, if we set the benchmark that we create this year. Final point that I want to make is that historically, if you look at database, statistics was being collected earlier also. Selected education statistics used to be produced finally. That's all that we had. And therefore, the data basically was at the state level. State government would really collate the data and send to Government of India. And that is what used to be published at the national level. So a big step was when we created the district information system so that the data were to be collected for every state, every district, collected and presented. At the district level only it should be collected. The point is that where you record the data and move it upwards, that is the critical thing. Now from the state level, we started collating the data at the district level. From the district level, under DICE, now we have gone to the school level. So the school data is directly, the raw data on the school is uploaded now. And we have the school report card for every school. But if you are talking about Right to Education, it's not about school. It is not about district. It's about children. Yes, the final goal of any database system should be, therefore, to tell, respond to the question, what is happening to every child? Is the child data should be our goal? It's a massive, it's a big jump that we will have to really do. But we have already done many jumps from state to district and district to school. But the next final end that we are really looking for is that it should answer the question,
who is going to school and who is not going to school. Not about how many. You see the difference. Now, we are not telling how many schools have buildings. No, we have already moved further. Which school has and which school doesn't have? The guys can answer that question. Similarly, we only have now how many children are going or not. But we need to go to that who these children are who are not going. Because if you want all our children to be in the school, we should know who are the children who are not going. Who are the children who are dropping out? Who are the children who are in the special training or who is not attending the special training? Who are the children who are facing discrimination in the school? You would agree with me. That's why all that we have talked about in this country, about non-discriminatory practices, which is what the Constitution guarantees, there will be no discrimination. But we know there are various kinds of discrimination that happens in the school. In our research study that we have been finding, ask a teacher that why this child is not learning, the teacher will say that, what can he learn? You know, many things are said by saying that. He can't learn. Means that you have come from such a family, what can this child learn? This is discrimination. If the teacher thinks like this, the child become like that. And we discriminate based on caste, we discriminate based on many things. I don't say it is as rampant as it used to be once upon a time, but it's still a major issue in many places. In many pockets of this country, it is still there. I'm saying the right to education is of every child. And every child and every day, the child's right should be protected. So we have the attendance data. But still, what you will do in the attendance is that you will only say 70% attendance or 30% attendance, 50% attendance. You can tell. That's good for the statistician. But for me, when you say 70% children are attending, I am more interested in the 30% who are not attending. Can you tell me who are the 30% who are not attending? So 30% looks big for us here. But go to your village school. 30% of what? 35 children? 30% of 80 children that you are talking? It is not big. It's only about 20 children, 10 children you are talking. Those 10 children are very important. If you want to achieve, protect the right of the child. Because that child's right is being violated for many days if the child is not regularly attending. Right to education guarantees the protection of the child's right to education every day, everywhere of every child. So, lot of data that you are collecting are very, very vital. I look forward to a day when it doesn't talk about telling percentages, but identify those children who need special attention. Not just the number, but those children who need special attention. Those children whose right is being violated, who need to be protected again. And if DICE cannot do, I think nobody can do. Because it's the only source in which you go to every school. And you collect data from every school. So I will stop here saying that we look forward to a day where DICE further evolve and then really be able to track every child. Finally, it should be a child tracking data system, not just about school data system, but a child tracking data system. In fact, there are many experiments that are already happening, many issues that are happening already. And I'm sure that the DICE can really grow into that level where it doesn't answer only the questions raised by the planners and monitors, but also questions raised by every child that why I am being left out. If a child is there, I should be able to tell that, yes, this child is being left out. You need to protect that child. I look forward to that day that it will be possible. I am sure that it will be possible one day.
Let me thank my colleagues for giving me this opportunity to share some of my ideas. Thank you very much.